This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
It is 5:35. Toronto Mayor John Tory rejoins the program. Nice to have you back.
Hey, guys.
Let's start off. We've gained a little bit more information. I heard Jerry Agar talking about this today. Yesterday, we talked extensively about these two individuals that are going to be paid. Saad Rafi's case is going to be paid $35,000 a month, including expenses up until November. Dr. David Mowat paid approximately $50,000, including expenses, up until the end of July. Yesterday, I think the working understanding, at least I had, was those expenses would also include staff and office space. That seems to be outside of those parameters, and some are saying that these individuals may have 30 to 40 staff working for them. Can you confirm that?
Well, sure. They're going to have a team of people working for them. I said all the way along with you, right from the beginning of this discussion, that what we needed here was top executive talent in one case, Mr. Rafi, and top public health talent in the other case, like really top-level people. But, of course, they're going to have a team. I mean, how many people do you think it takes to open up a $300 billion economy? How many would you say it takes?
I don't know. I've never done it before.
Well, okay, exactly. And so what it takes is two really leading figures. One, probably one of the most prominent public health executives in all of Canada, or doctors, and the other one being a very prominent public sector executive with great experience with the Ontario government, with whom we're going to work hand in glove. And what I explained, and I'll go through it one more time. I explained at the time, because you asked me, why didn't we have any of the deputy city managers, and I very carefully explained that those people, we have four women who are deputy city managers, and they're looking after things like right now, like trying to move 3,000 homeless people to different accommodations so that we can have proper physical spacing. They're looking after things like establishing the 11 emergency child care centers we put in place, the only place in North America that is doing that to look after the kids of the health workers. They're looking after things like just trying to make sure the city keeps going so the fire department comes when it's called, the police department comes when it's called, the water turns on and all that kind of stuff. So none of those people were available to take on a task that I can assure you, when you don't know how many people it takes, I'll tell you, it takes two very top-flight executives, and it does take a team of 40 people. Because when I asked you the questions yesterday, like when you just take restaurants, we just picked that example, just take restaurants, you know, how many, should the tables be far apart or close together? Do people have to wear a mask? What kind of hygienic requirements do you have? Should we have testing programs on the way in the restaurant for every patron that goes in? What do you do with people who test positive? I mean, those are all incredible details multiplied times 500. I mean, I could get into the transit system with you. What happens when there's a problem, an accident, say, on the transit system, and you have people pouring into the transit station onto the platforms where they're going to be way closer than they're supposed to be, given that we've just got over a virus pandemic? So you have to plan for all of those different eventualities. And I think it's fair, if you're going to ask me those questions, which I welcome you doing, we can talk about this every single day, it's also fair that you should, in asking them, have some answer when you suggest to me that 35 or 40 people is too many, or that somehow these executives should do this job all by themselves.
No,
a huge, complicated operation. This is a huge operation opening. Do you know how many people come into Toronto every day to come to work from 905 and from around the city? Hundreds of thousands of people come every day. And if we're going to test them or make them wear a mask, or we're going to decide that only on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays some people can come, and on other days it's Tuesday and Thursday for different people for social distancing reasons, it all has to be worked out, and it has to be worked out in a matter of weeks.
My simple suggestion would be, and you might think of it as just that simple, to get people from these particular employment areas, like the restaurant industry, have some of those leaders step up and work with these executives, as opposed to using city staff, and say to these people, would you be able to volunteer? I've heard Mark McEwen's name kicked around, and other restaurateurs' names kicked around that could probably handle that off and would be willing to do so on a voluntary basis.
We are going to use those people as advisors. I said this morning in a different interview, I think on CP24, that obviously, we don't know the restaurant industry as well as people who are in the restaurant industry, but the fact is, they will advise us on sort of what you can and what you can't do. But the actual implementation, say, of a testing regime across the city, or the actual implementation, we don't have people sitting out in the private sector who know how to run a transit system, respectfully. We don't. We have people in our sector who know how to run a transit system, and so some of those people, I can't tell you out of the 40 how many it will be seconded over to work on Mr. Rafi's group and Dr. Mowat's group to tell us how I think one of the key linchpins of all this will operate. How will the transit system operate in an environment where you have everybody coming back to work, but you still have to maintain social distancing, and we don't have 6,000 extra buses to put on or a whole bunch of extra subway cars we can fit in the system. So, look, again, I come back to something I've said, Ryan. Unlike many others, including, frankly, and I've been a talk show host, as you know, one of the great luxuries of it was I was not accountable to anybody except, I suppose, my boss and the CRTC for what I said. I'm accountable to the voters. I believe the voters trust me because they know, first of all, I'm trustworthy. Secondly, I think they believe I'm competent. I've worked for the last, I think, 70 or 75 days straight on trying to do the right things, and I think we've done not a bad job of managing what is the biggest crisis the city has ever faced. And I think we've now spent 3 days in a row talking about people that are going to cost the city a total of, I'm not minimizing the money, $500,000 in total for the people. They're going to put a team together to make sure we open up properly a $300 billion economy affecting 3 million people and affecting the well-being of this nation, frankly, not just Toronto. And so I will keep saying the same thing every day, and I believe that people trust me. Not every single one of them, but I think most of them do, that they think I'm trying to do the right thing. They elected me to do the right thing. I believe if I stand for election and the sole issue is on this decision, I'll be reelected again.
Question. Where we have daily updates from the Prime Minister, from the Premier, from Public Health, from yourself as well. I'm a results guy. And I said yesterday to everybody listening to our show, I said, if you don't agree with this the mayor's decision, I look forward to us being proved wrong. And I stand by that. I hope we are proved wrong. But I am curious, are we going to be getting updates as well from the gentlemen that are helping us through this transition? Will we see the results of their work on a daily basis?
We've begun to talk about how we can transition the kinds of daily reporting that is taking place to feature more of the kind of work they're doing. But for the moment, I will just tell you, we're still focused on, again, look at the Ontario numbers today and see that they're going back up. And we're still in Toronto also reporting new cases. So we're not at the stage yet where we're going to start spending all of our time talking about the promised land and all the details of the plan to open up the city when, in fact, even the Premier said the same thing. We've got weeks to go yet where we've got to get the numbers going down. And that means weeks to go, unfortunately, concentrating on I know a message people are sort of tired of hearing, which is about physical distancing and in all the nice weather. But the answer to your question is yes. At some point in time, we will transition to a regime that focuses more on reporting on the plan, especially when we get into the plan. When we get into the phases of the plan, it'll be incredibly important that we communicate to the public the details, because it's not going to be a simple proposition. Again, all these questions, I welcome them. I really do. And by the way, I should say, with all the accessibility, I think I'm probably more accessible than any of the other leaders in terms of my going actually on television and on radio answering questions of the public, not just the media, every day, every single day. For the last, I think, 8 weeks, every day. So, and I will continue to do that, as will the others, but I will just say to you that I think you'll find when they start answering the questions that this is not a simple task that you assign to a couple of part-time people that do it off the side of their desk or to, you know, some people that are sort of junior executives. This is a gigantic task, and frankly, if it gets screwed up, I will be held to account for that too, but if it gets screwed up, then the questions will be asked, well, why didn't you get more senior experienced people to come and apply themselves more full-time to do doing this job? And so, you know, ask away, gents, but I'm just saying to you, I'm very comfortable with where I've landed on this, and it wasn't a decision I made by myself. Everybody concurred in it, and everybody concurred in finding the best two people we possibly could to do a job that the very well-being of this city depends upon.
Well, text message at 71010. I trust you, John. Ryan, I wouldn't trust to pour pee out of a boot. I don't know what that means, but it sounds like they've got your back there. Let's move on. We didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. I really did want to talk about it. And we talked a lot about the money part of things. Yesterday, you launched a plan to address lineups, crowded sidewalks, and over 100 hotspots. A lot of people are actually writing to us about that today at 71010. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Well, okay. Let's start with what it was advocated I should do, which was it was advocated by the people who, you know, spend a lot of their time focused on this, and I'm not being critical, I'm just saying they do, that we should close Yonge Street, for example. That was at the very beginning of this whole pandemic, that we should close Yonge Street so that people could walk on Yonge Street and not have to worry about being on the crowded sidewalks. So we've been watching Yonge Street and many other streets very carefully, and the sidewalks actually aren't that crowded, but there are hot spots where it does get crowded. So one of the ones I remember that we designated yesterday is at Carlton and Church with the big Loblaws store and old Maple Leaf Gardens there, and it's crowded there. So we have designated those places and saying, yes, in places like that where there's a demonstrated problem, and by the way, it's public health and the transportation department that determine this, not me, we will actually there take out a portion of the curb lane to allow either for pedestrians to use part of that space on the street so they can pass each other safely and so there can be room for the lineups and so on, or that we'll create some special parking spaces where there are people picking up large quantities of food or pharmacy, goods from a pharmacy and so on. So we started with an initial list of 10, and those are being installed today. So we are taking out part of a lane of traffic in that instance so that people can, pedestrians and cyclists can move around safely. And we're probably going to get that up to 100. And we're talking sort of about a block or half a block in those areas. And again, the critics today were saying, well, I still should have closed down streets. I will just say to you by conclusion, our medical officer of health says she doesn't want to close lanes of traffic and turn Yonge Street into a big sort of pedestrian place right now because she wants people to stay home. So she would much rather that actually the sidewalks are as they have been for most of this pandemic, which are empty. They've been empty. And she wants them to stay empty for the time being so that we can get over this whole thing and people should stay home for now. And she has said, as I have, if there's a circumstance in which we can change those policies later and allow for greater space for pedestrians because that's called for, then that's exactly what we'll do. But for now, we've done what we did yesterday.
Mayor Tory, we've got a question about the CNE, but we will save that for tomorrow. We appreciate you taking the time today.
Okay, thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Toronto
Mayor John Tory with us every day at 5:35.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.